This conference is being recorded.
Walker Board Meeting.
Okay. We're going to, Chuck Bowers, Vice President of the Board, we're going to call this meeting to order, and we're starting with one moment of silence for the passing of Bill Lotsage's son, Wayne, and his stepson. Okay. In attendance today, Greg Sava, Scott Stratman, Donna Hanessian, and Fire Chief Roger Nussbaum. we're going to maybe move the executive session to the end if we have one today. The agenda, I think everybody has a copy. The President's report, I think we're going to probably pass over that since Bill's not here. Secretary's report, I have a copy of it, and we want to just accept it as is.
Move to accept.
Okay. Secretary's report has been accepted as is. Treasury report, I don't think Vic's calling in.
I don't believe so either. I'll just go through it real quickly for Vic. Okay. Everything looks like it's along. It's in line with budget. We're a little bit behind for December, but we'll have the dues drive that starts in February, and that's typically when it starts pulling back up again. Expenses look like they're managed appropriately. The bottom line in the account, the balance sheet as quick as the December end and calendar year end, was approximately $83,500. Books look fine. Again, expenses managed. And we'll talk about the dues drive in the new business, I believe.
Okay. Any motion to accept the treasurer's report?
Motion.
Second. Second. Johnny O. Okay. Report is approved. Next, fire chief report. Roger, chief.
Okay. The report I emailed during the week, I added a couple of things to it. I'll get the updated version to Russ. For the minutes. Calls, we had two medical calls, including a walk-in during the dance. We had a search and recovery call. The non-walk-in medical call occurred mid-Thursday, mid-morning on Thursday, and we still had six people participate in the call. I wanted just to make a note of that, because midweek in the middle of a workday, we're very fortunate to have that type of potential response available. Fleet, all the vehicles are back from servicing and in good shape for now. Patrol 80, Engine 86, Rescue 81 are chained up, which gives us the best chance to respond should an incident at an IC location. Training, our December 15th training was a goal setting for 2013. Our January 5th training was a drill moving water from Engine 80, from the tender to Engine 86, then Engine 86 spraying water while feeding Patrol 85. Both trainings and practice donning turnout here. The reason to mention that last little bit is we're, with the help of Engine 86 and now having, a dozen people with turnout gear, it's allowing us to incorporate structure training into each training. And while there aren't a long list of ISO requirements as we first thought, the 24-hour-a-year business of structure training is one of them. And so now with the engine and the turnout gear, it's pretty easy for us to clear that hurdle. Arizona Wildfire Academy, at this point we have seven people attending, including two new recruits taking the basic class. That obviously is crucial. The two new guys both appear to be under the age of 50, so they have the potential to be around for a while. POWIC, no meeting in January. Social function, the dance went well from a fire department perspective. Trucks were taken out and put away without issue. We were able to make the station appear presentable. We got fenders put down to try to prevent anyone from falling and in fact, no one slipped on the ice. So from a fire department perspective, all went well. Facilities. We have a broken heater in the garage. It's the one in this near corner. Apparently the electronics in it are fried. If anyone can recommend someone for repairs, great. If not, I'll try and dig someone up before I proceed it, though. If someone has someone they love for that sort of thing, great, let me know. I would rather, you know, take a referral than just cold call in the phone book. So if anyone has anything, please get back to me. Prescott Basin Wildland Committee. So this was not in the original report I sent out. So based on a new structure implemented at the state level, they're dividing the state into regions for coordinating response to off-district wildfires, this committee was formed. So we were invited to the first meeting for this local committee. I believe we're going to have a seat at the table, which, if correct, is a good thing. An engine boss is now required for water tenders, not just Type 6 and Type 3 engines. And lending on engine bosses is unlikely to occur based on feedback I got at this meeting. Our only hope here, and they are considering doing this, is creating additional training in lieu of the firefighting hours that are required to be an engine boss. We'll see if that is going to come together. There are only, and it's hard to believe, but there are only 88 people in the state acting in the capacity of engine boss. There's more than 88 that are qualified, but if someone's a captain, they are a captain and are acting in the capacity of an engine boss. So only 88 acting in that capacity, and if you double that number for captains and battalion chiefs and the like, it's still a very low number considering there's only 200 and something departments in the state. And so they realize there's a shortage, so this is really our only shot to benefit from getting...
I've never seen so many people show
up. This is our only shot of participating in outside fires, is clearing or reducing this training, or you know, creating this training to reduce the fire line hours hurdle. It either happens or it doesn't, and that will be the driver. Do you have a question?
So so we have a station boss.
Yes.
Are we going to be required to have an engine boss?
Station boss has nothing to do with engine boss.
I know that. I'm asking. So from what your report is, we're being required to have an engine boss?
Well, we're
inside or for outside fires?
This is for external.
That's what it is.
Okay. Fires.
Okay.
So as of now, you know, the existing policy is when a truck responds, it needs an engine boss, even if we're a water tender, which is new. The question then is, how can we create an engine boss with a lower training or lower fire line threshold and an increased training threshold? And they're either going to create that or they're not. At this point, it's undetermined. We'll see if I get invited back for the second meeting. I think I'm part of it, but we'll find out. One last point, Bill asked me to bring it up at the meeting. We had a search, what turned out to be a search and recovery call last week. At his suggestion, and it was an excellent suggestion, I reached out to people involved in the call, and it was kind of a PTSD type of follow-up, and fortunately, everyone, you know, was just fine. I'm not crystal clear why Bill asked me to bring this up in this context, but I told him I would mention that we're going to look at trying to create some sort of PTSD program for the firefighters. There probably are other resources that we can call in as opposed to reinventing the wheel, yet to be determined, but I told them I would bring that up here. And then the last thing, not on my report, but if we get around to talking about alarm, I'm going to have several things to say about that. And that's all I got for you.
Roger, just... out of curiosity, on the search and rescue, was that the situation over by Blue Jay?
Yeah, search and recovery.
Okay, search and recovery. Okay. I know that you and I talked about this, and I don't know whether this is the proper venue to bring it up or not, but we were talking about our reporting this to the community, and I'm not sure that we actually have parameters. We do report everything to that we find on fires or house structures or whatever. In cases of medical calls, privacy issue is one that we hold close, and this one was put out to the community pretty quick, and so I was a little caught off guard by that, and I don't know what your feeling is about it.
Well, so yeah, Chuck and I talked about this in the middle of the week. The notice that was put out on this happened around me. I wasn't involved with that. Being very blunt, the person was, an outside person with no connection to Walker. Obviously, there were no details of the person given, but it struck me as being a peculiar notification in terms of the functioning of the community and the knitting of the community. It was a completely irrelevant event, so I'm not sure the purpose in relaying that out. In terms of particulars on a medical call, Johnny has a hideous cuticle disfigurement that we respond to. That's his own business.
Jeff Coughlin.
That becomes a serious HIPAA issue. Trying to make light of it for just a moment. But when there is a real medical call, that information can't go out, period. And something that is irrelevant, I don't think the word should relates, but there was no reason for that notification. There was nothing for the community.
So my follow-up, and Jeff, are you on?
Yes, I am.
Okay, just bear with us a minute. I'd like to get back to this question. We're going to interrupt this because I want to talk to you about recommendations on that. So right now we are going to talk about the alarm contract. Jeff, can you identify yourself for us, please?
Yes, this is Jeff Coughlin.
Okay, Jeff Coughlin is an attorney in the city of Prescott, and he was asked to work on the review of our alarm contract by Bill Whittington because Bill actually had a conflict of interest, which you probably recall in this conversation. So at this particular point, through the holidays and all the stuff that's gone on, finally Jeff has recommendations or his review. He's going to be sharing that with us and then giving us some options, I think, to listen to. So, Jeff, if you want to go ahead.
Sure. Thank you. I have reviewed the contract joint dispatch services agreement, and apparently at the time that it was signed or circulated, it did not have Schedule A attached to it. And Schedule A actually breaks down the percentage of contribution among the various participating agencies. So I've looked at that schedule, and I've looked at the contract, and it's referred to at a number of points throughout the contract. First of all, schedule's mathematics are incorrect. All of the contributing amounts based on the percentages identified are incorrect by varying amounts. It doesn't make a big difference for Walker Fire, except that the amount that is listed per year based on the fiscal year 2013 budget is off by, looks like, about close to $100. So it states that Walker should participate to the extent of $1,067 a year, and it actually ought to be $970. But that's not a big difference. You guys are the least participant on this entire schedule because your contribution is based on less than half of 1% of the expenses. So you're at 0.04. Based on that, that's how they arrive at the calculation, even though it's incorrect. So that's the first thing. Not a big deal because you guys are such really on the low end of this. So I'm going to go through the contract itself, and I don't know if you all have a copy of this in front of you. Is that fair to say?
Wait, we do. I don't believe we do.
Okay, so I'll just go through it and tell you what I've identified in the contract, so you might know this, and if you do, then just stop me and I'll move on. But in the beginning of the contract, there is a termination clause that allows you to get out of this contract by identifying to the city that you wish to do that, but it's got to be 360 days in advance of the termination date. So, I mean, if you wanted to stop on January 12th of the year 2014, you'd have to give them notice today. It doesn't have to do with the actual end of the fiscal year. Second, the services that you are being required to pay for on the Schedule A consist of personnel, facilities, workspaces, equipment, anything that they need in the city to actually operate the dispatch center. This also includes training, supervision, compensation, insurance, benefits, licenses, any other requirements for the personnel at work in the dispatch center. So when they come up with a fiscal year budget, for example, this year it's $2,425,000. That's what that goes towards. There were some initial capital expenditures that were made. And, Bill, have you been the one that's been speaking?
Jeff, unfortunately, Bill was not here this morning. His son was killed in an automobile accident yesterday.
Oh, my God. Oh, so, I'm really sorry.
Yeah, it was Greg Stava, myself, Scott Stratman, Fire Chief Roger Nussbaum, and John Onesian.
Oh, I'm so sorry. So this is Chuck?
Yep.
Okay. Oh, boy, you threw me for that one. That's a real hard thing to handle. I'm sorry. Okay, so this budget, initially, there was a contribution for capital expenditures. And, Chuck, can you tell me when Walker actually joined this group?
Roger.
I believe it was 2008. If it was not 2008, then it was 2007.
Okay, so right now I'm looking at this Schedule A, and it says capital expenditures initially were $1.3 million, and apparently we're in year 7 of 10 on that. So Walker wasn't there at the outset. Is that correct?
I believe that to be correct.
Okay. So what Walker is being responsible for on the initial capital expenditures is $57 a year. So in this calculation for what you'll be responsible for, it's your percentage of the initial capital expenditures, your percentage of the fiscal year budget each year, and there's a third category that is called capital expenses as identified. Now, is anyone aware of any additional capital expenditures that have been identified?
No, this is Greg Stava. In the last 3 years and the current year, the assessment that the department has paid is the $5,000 divided by $12 a month. I'm not even seeing the $57 unless that occurred this year, and Vic, the treasurer, is not in the meeting today. So.
Yeah, and that's something that I was going to address, because there are three participating agencies that are required to pay a minimum of $5,000 a month, and it's totally that
yeah.
Ignores the percentages.
Right. That yeah, it defaults either one to the other. It's the greater of, and it's $5,000 a year, not a month.
Oh, that's what I meant. Yeah, $5,000 a year. And so so you wouldn't be aware of the breakdown. For example, $57 a year for capital expenditures and $1,067 for fiscal year, because you're paying $5,000, which is five times the amount that you'd be required to if you just stuck to the percentages. So, and is that something? I know that I spoke with Chuck about this, and I spoke with Bill about this. Is that something everyone was aware of going in, that they would be that the board would be responsible for that minimum of $5,000 a year?
Yes. I think that we were aware of that, Jeff, and I think, as I indicated to you on the telephone, we're sort of on the low rung of the ladder in this contract. And Roger, you can kind of, I think, fill us in a little bit on this. Our entry into this alarm contract was based upon what?
So if it's relevant at this point in the conversation, we were allowed in with the promise made, this was several fire chiefs ago, the promise made that we would become a fire district. That has failed to occur unless there's disagreement in the room, there's no visibility for that to occur in the near term as well, despite our having made the commitment to do that and not being able to. I know the best way to describe it is that they seem to no longer be concerned. They're looking the other way on that, but either way, it went from being a prerequisite to getting in to being a non-issue altogether. Again, if that's relevant at this point in the conversation.
Okay, well, and perhaps I'm not sure why this minimum of 5,000 came in, because it more than covers, five times covers what your percentage is under the capital expenditures in the fiscal year budget. But if there was something else going on at the time that sort of launched that 5,000 minimum, I wouldn't be aware of that. You guys would, but and I suggested that there's a possibility that it could be negotiated out of the contract and that you only pay what you're responsible for. But it most certainly is on Schedule A, and it's in the contract that you pay this. So if you're willing to continue that, $5,000 a year, you know, it's money, but I'm not sure how much that pinches you or not. So I'm just advising you, if you want me to, and I've mentioned this to Chuck and Bill, I can contact the city attorney. There's been quite a bit of movement in that position, because the previous city attorney is gone now, and there's been an interim one that's sitting there waiting for the newly appointed one to take office. And so I don't know that anyone really knows what's going on with anything right now at the city. So just let me know if you want me to do that before we finalize this.
Okay.
I think we should look into it.
Well, let's. What other issues have you looked at, Jeff?
Okay, I've got some other. The determination of the this calculation for percentages is based on calls for service, and Prescott Police Department by far is the largest. And they're at about 41% of the calls. So they get about 29,000 calls, I assume this is per year, and you guys get 31. So there's a huge difference in the percentage, and that's why it breaks down the way that it is. But the calculation is actually made on a call for service. That's how they track this and determine the calculations for percentages. And I assume that you know that, but I just wanted to point it out in case you didn't.
Okay, thank you.
You are a private district, which means that there are provisions in this contract for public agencies who generally are not allowed or not empowered to bind future boards with expenditures. You're not in that category because you actually are private. So you can commit to the continuation. So, for example, sign this contract and commit to the next 5 or 6 years for payments under this Schedule A. And I just don't know whether anyone is aware of that. It doesn't really make any difference because you are private, but I wanted to identify it. This $5,000 minimum that we've been talking about, it was curious to me because based on your percentage calculation, you'd be, in this particular year, although it's not an accurate figure, you'd be paying $1,124 for the year. So there's that other $3,900 that's being paid into the city for what? It seems to have created an excess. It's done for not only you, but Williamson Valley and Groom Creek, who are all below that 5,000 amount in real figures. So just pointing that out. Has Walker appointed a liaison officer?
No, this is Roger Nussbaum. I attend both in the capacity of liaison and as capacity of fire chief to these meetings.
Okay. Indemnification. This is a big issue because it means, and I'm looking at Article 2, I'm going to read it to you. It says, in the event of any litigation, claims, or other costs being incurred by the city as the result of its operation of the dispatch center, then each participating agency shall share in the cost of that those litigation claims or costs based on the formula that's set forth in the Schedule A. So that could be a scary issue when you think about it, because lawsuits can cost a lot of money. And but to give you an example, if there's a $2 million claim, and based on this formula, you were required to contribute, you'd be contributing $800. I mean, it's not, you're at the very low end of this, and you're correct, Chuck. You are the low rung in this agreement, because you use by far the fewest amount of the services. So $2 million lawsuit, $800 is what you'd be responsible for.
This is Roger again. Do they not have E&O insurance?
Yes, and that would be besides that. Over and above probably the insurance that would cover most losses. So chances are pretty slim, and your percentage is extremely low, so I don't think it's anything to worry about. But it's worth knowing about, just in case. And just in case anyone was not sure as to the percentage, because, you know, obviously Prescott Police Department is going to be paying 41% of anything over and above insurance proceeds. So they'd be upset if there was a big multi-million-dollar lawsuit, and they'd be on the hook for it. So you guys, I think, are safe with that. And, again, it's based on your percentage. So
we're riding the ladder.
Yep. And you as an agency have every right, just as much as Prescott Police Department does, at any time to examine the books at the city concerning who they have for personnel, what their expenditures are. You can request an audit, look at employee timesheets. You can look at anything that's an indicator of an expenditure by the dispatch center, just to keep them in line, and that's your complete right under this contract. So if there is anyone that's interested in doing that, I would encourage you to do it. Just to kind of, you know, sometimes municipalities get out of whack and they start spending a lot of money and nobody pays attention to it. So that's your right. I'd encourage you to do it. Let's see. That's about it in terms of my observations of what's in this contract. I think the only item that's left hanging is what you want me to do about this $5,000, whether or not it makes sense to contact the city attorney. Or, you know, the downside could be that once that happens, there's a gathering of the other agencies and they're saying, well, wait a second, you know, these guys are hardly paying anything at all. And now they're trying to get out of the $5,000. Maybe it stirs up a hornet's nest. I don't know.
Yeah.
Since we are, this is Scott Stradman. You haven't heard from me yet. Since we are contractually obligated to the minimum of $5,000, do we have any grounds to request lowering our fees more consistent with what the actual percentages are?
Well, this contract has not been fully executed, so you're actually. And maybe I need some more background on this, Scott. The contract is dated effective July of 11th, and although Bill did sign this in September of 12, and the mayor signed it in June of 12, is this the only contract that you've had, or is this a new contract? Just another one.
It's an updated contract. We originally signed a contract. I don't know prior to this one how many contracts we had signed, you know, if they roll over every 2 years or not, but we are coming up on a new contract soon. But I'm not sure if it's an every 2 year thing or as an as needed thing.
Okay. Well, I'm looking at the one that's dated July of 11 that apparently was not signed until more than a year later. And so I'm assuming that this is the contract that you're being asked to sign,
yes.
Which tells me that at the present time, first of all, I don't know whether you're obligated under an existing contract or anything, or whether this document is what does it. So let's take the first one. If you are obligated, I don't know what the terms are of that contract, unless they're the same as this, in which case this says that the agencies participate based upon Schedule A. And Schedule A says that each and parts of the contract itself says that the I'll read to you which article in the contract specifies the responsibility of each agency. It's understood by the parties that the fee payment is based on a workload division of costs as set forth in Schedule A. The net cost for the participating agency shall be divided by the percentage of workload as a percentage of the dispatch center's total calls for service. So there is not actually any statement in the contract itself until you get to, let's see, section, just before section 6, it's article 5, section D. Until its participation in this contract is terminated, the participating agencies to this contract shall pay a minimum annual fixed fee of $5,000 each fiscal year. Now, that actually applies to everybody. The fact is that...
Where does the extra money go? If we're paying higher than our normal percentage and everyone else is paying a percentage, where does that extra percentage of money go?
That was my question. That's what alerted me to this, because essentially everyone's required based on the formula to kick in a percentage of the call. So if you've got this $1 million, $2.5 million budget for 2013, and 100% of it is funded by contribution by the various agencies, but your amount is actually five times the amount of your percentage, there is an overage. There's an excess. So where does it go?
We can ask for, if our percentage doesn't equate to that at the end of the year we get a refund to whatever the percentage would be. I think that would be in line with the contract and the intentions.
Well, the contract says that there's a minimum fee of five, but this amount can be negotiated out of the contract based on that observation right there, and that is, and I wrote a note right under this paragraph. What about overpayment? Walker owes $1,124 this year. What happens to the other $3,900? Why don't they get that back?
Okay, so
that's a question, and that's a question that we can ask the city, and I expect the response is going to be, well, you know, that's what it says. Everyone pays a minimum of $5,000. I mean, all these other guys spend that anyway, much more than that in many cases, but the bottom three on the ladder don't. And so that's why I wanted to discuss this with you, because I wasn't present. I don't know what was going through people's minds at the time and whether they felt like this was because these guys, these three bottom ones, don't use the services that much, they're kind of being carried by the rest of us. Perhaps we ought to hit them with a minimum payment.
There's no reason to expect that when the city attorney did this or when this contract was originated that they would use any logic in it. The fact of the matter is that small agencies don't really require a lot, and yet I think they find that just looking at the political atmosphere, there's a way to get extra funds in, and so we'll just throw a minimum on that. At this particular juncture, I don't know whether this is an annual, like Roger's saying, I don't know if this is an annual agreement, a biannual agreement, every 5 years or whatever. Do you have any idea, Jeff?
I don't know that, but I could speak with Bill Whittington about it, because he's been involved with it much longer than I have, so he might have some insight into that.
Okay.
Well, he should, because he's got a conflict on the other side of
yes.
it. Here's my suggestion. This is Greg. We've asked for a review of the document, and it's clear that we don't have some of the prior documents and enough history to make a decision. It also seems that by default we're kind of drug into it, because we haven't given our 360-day notice We do have an agreement that was signed at one point in time. It sounds like it was signed by the mayor and Bill Lothridge. My suggestion, unless there's a fatal flaw in the document that you reviewed, is if we have the time, and I guess I'm asking that question, you know, of you and Bill, if we have the time, let's get the foundation and the other information. But here's kind of what I've seen over my years here is, one, we see value in the alarm. Two, it's not necessarily a requirement that they include us. Yes, we are a minutia in the grand scheme of things, and it's not unusual in a co-op type of a structure that there are minimum amounts for, you know, again, a base amount that would be required for service and clients like us. I'm not saying that's the case, but that's certainly a possibility. And lastly, you know, to assume that it's a zero-sum budget and that every nickel is accounted for isn't reality. A lot of these co-ops will have accesses, and they carry them over. And like I said, I think we need to do some more research because our fee has not increased in 4 years. So either there's a huge surplus out there, maybe we do need to raise our hand and include some of these other points, or there's enough that's carried, you know, in the overall operation that the $5,000 just kind of plugs us along.
Well,
the question is there anything in the contract that you've reviewed currently that we need to fix that might harm the department?
I think the only thing that you might want to alter is this minimum payment. I think everything else is pretty standard, and as long as you're aware of what's in it, and that's what I've been trying to tell today, is just some of the features of this agreement that are important, which should be important to you guys, but also checking on this stuff. It gives you have a total right, just as much as the police departments do, to go in and check as to what the expenses are and where this money's going. It's just I think it's a sound accounting practice to do it. So I don't know who would actually do that in your group, but Walker Fire has that, the absolute right to insist upon this, and to actually request. I mean, it would be at your expense, but request an audit. Now, I don't know if you want to go that far, but if somebody that's got some financial know-how wants to go in and check on what's been spent and whether there is an excess, it might give you a little leverage in terms of negotiating the $5,000 out of the minimum $5,000 out, because you know what's the basis of a surplus for a dispatch agreement that's paying for hard costs, you know, personnel and expenditures and training and so forth. So I think that's important. And so those two things I think are probably the most significant aspects of this contract. And you did mention that this contract has been signed. It has been. Bill signed it after apparently it says here passed, approved, and adopted by the board of directors on September 28th of 12. I'm not quite sure. First of all, it hasn't been delivered to the city, so I don't think it constitutes a contract yet.
It was delivered to the city.
It was delivered.
And it was returned to get the second signature of, I believe, the secretary. I think that was in October that I received it, turned it over to Vice President Bowers, and so it's been floating around here since the middle of October on this.
So we don't have a legally executed document at this point.
Well, not this one. Not this one that stated effective July of 11. So
maybe it would,
I don't know what preceded that.
Well, maybe it would be an okay time to go ahead and inquire as to whether or not we could make it on a straight percentage basis, since the contract's not actually executed yet.
Yeah, as
long as we can do it without rocking the boat, we don't want to lose our privileges there, as Greg was mentioning. But if we could politely inquire if we could make it prorated rather than a straight minimum.
You're asking me to be polite?
We can have that discussion as a board, Jeff, I think.
Yeah, I know. I agree. First of all, it's a contract. And whenever you are negotiating a contract, it's just that. You're not saying, okay, if we don't get this, we're out of here. You're just inquiring. And that's a perfectly appropriate thing to do when you're negotiating a contract and to set forth the reasons why you think it shouldn't apply. I mean, what's my first question would be, what this seems like a penalty for the lower three on the rung because everyone else is paying their percentages based on Schedule A, and Walker is paying five times that.
Okay. Yeah, this is Greg again. Just real quickly, did you say that the mayor had signed it at one point? Are we talking about this, the contract that was approved by the board supposedly on 9/28/12, the one that was signed by Lothar?
Yeah.
The mayor did sign it?
Mayor signed this in June as well.
Okay, so it's not an enforceable contract because our secretary hasn't signed it.
Well, and when you say that it was returned, was the original document returned?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, so there's not been a delivery of a fully executed contract.
Okay.
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 All right, so I think we've got about all the information we probably can chew on for a while, and I guess one, a couple of our questions will be bounced around on the board, one of them being, when is this contract actually renewable? And so, and the cost, you know, maybe they were figuring on us taking in our good old time about it. That's where we're getting the excess of costs of paying for that. It's just a joke. Anyway.
What do you want me to do?
Just
I think be on hold right now. So until the board makes a decision about what we want to go for here and see where we can come in, we'll get in touch with you in the next few weeks.
Okay, and if you wouldn't mind, if somebody has the ability to locate the contract that was in effect before this new one was, this one says it's restated. So that usually means that it's a restatement of an existing contract. But I would like to see what that existing contract is because one of you questioned, are the terms the same? And I don't know. So are you contractually bound right now until the new contract is signed to the 5,000 term? Either way, you can negotiate that out. You can say, look, in the past we've been agreeing to pay and have paid the 5,000 minimum, but we kind of question why we have to do that based on the schedule and what everyone else is paying.
Okay.
And we're getting the heaviest penalty on this. And
okay.
See what he says.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. Any other questions?
Nope.
We're good.
Okay. Thank you very much for your attendance.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks.
Okay.
Talk to you soon.
Okay.
Bye.
Okay.
So it appears there's no reason not to make the inquiry as to what we could do to get the cost down.
Well,
there's
a couple.
There's a couple of reasons.
Okay.
They
might rock the boat?
Well, yes and no. If it's not clear, I think what we need to do is get our understanding of what's going on underneath us first before we kind of jump the gun. Certainly, we should save the money if we can save the money, but it's not unusual to get charged a minimum, especially for the fractional interest that we have, and especially if we're outside the boundary of if it's just districts and fire departments. You know, do we want to blow our toe off by raising that issue?
Well,
do we see value?
If you simply ask a question, you don't say it's going to be our way or the highway, but you simply say we've been doing this, we noticed that it's not prorated. What's wrong with asking a simple question and not rocking the boat, but just asking a simple question?
But what's coming out is we don't even know what we've signed. We don't know what that prior agreement is. I'm saying get that information. We can do that in the next week or two.
Roger, what's your feeling on this whole thing?
This is a freaking goat rodeo. We have essentially no seat at the table, in terms of it's a $2.4 million operation. The three departments at the bottom, could be swept aside with zero financial consequence to the running of the department. The running of the dispatch center. There is no question that they simply do not need us. We're not fulfilling the agreement, what was a verbal agreement. On the district business, there's no question we're fulfilling it. We're not capable of fulfilling it anytime soon. Compared to what we were doing before versus what we're doing now in terms of dispatching on calls, to say it's night and day doesn't go far enough of an explanation. The value for service, it, in my opinion, exceeds $5,000. When we have, a hairy call involving, many agencies, part of what they do is, is a very much a role of safety for our people on the scene. Just so we're clear on that. As far as this other stuff, this was originally handed back to us as a cross the T dot the I situation. That was 3.5 months ago, or 4 months ago maybe. I got a call Thursday from them saying, well, where's the contract? It's been 3 months. My reaction was, well, we are, I told them about this meeting this week, and I did not say we would have it back to them signed, but they added 2 and 2 together and got 22 and thought that we would be producing a signed document coming out of this meeting. It is beyond, I don't understand why we've had this for 3 months now and are still maybe weeks away from doing anything with it. It's crazy. This guy is, I made the comment to Chuck, are we going to spend $600 to save $1,000? And he's obviously trying to whip up the other departments. We're looking at a whole lot in legal fees. I just think this is crazy, absolutely crazy. The guy's coming in not even in the middle. He's coming in at the very end. Apparently the city attorney is also brand new. So you've got two new people who are going to try and figure this out from scratch on our nickel. Complete goat rodeo.
Well, this is the comment I was thinking about, too, because I know – legally, when you look at it from a black and white standpoint, it seems like we're not fulfilling what is required in those situations because we're not a district. Also, there's no, the real costs on this for us. I think you're right. This dispatch service far exceeds what we're paying. I think that for the safety of the community. And I told this to Jeff. I actually, just to give you a rundown, because when I got that, I put that contract in the hands of Bill, and he came back to us, and he was at the meeting, and said, well, okay, this is the deal. I have a conflict of interest here. I'll send it off to him. He sent it off to him, and I had this guy get in touch with Bill Lothridge, and then we went back and forth on this, and quite honestly, this is taking a considerable amount of time. And when I talked to this gentleman last, and I had talked to Bill Lothridge last, and I talked with you, it was apparent that this is just, we just need to go forward with the contract because, why do we want to chase this down a hole that we don't know what it's going to cost? And Bill was busy calling Williamson Valley and the Groom Creek, and it's like, I don't think it makes any difference.
So you don't feel it's a $3,800 a month save or a $3,800 a year savings. You don't feel it's worth the attorney making a simple call and saying, are we willing to go as straight percentage without rocking the boat? I'm asking, I'm not telling.
The definition of a simple call is the issue because an attorney making a simple call is not simple. First of all, we have an interim attorney, city attorney right now. The guy that did this contract with Whittington was gone. He was there 9 years, he left. They have apparently hired another one, but now they have an interim one. People don't have a clue and I'm sure that's the case. So at this particular juncture, I don't see any reason why we wouldn't want to rock the boat for any reason. I mean, we are really riding on the coattails of the districts involved here. I mean, anybody else got a...
Then is there any reason not to go ahead and execute it immediately so we don't have this continuing...
Just after listening, I'm not the operations guy, Roger is.
Roger.
Okay, there is value in the alarm. Okay, so, isn't this the same alarm that Central Yavapai had a little issue with? I mean, they've already gone through...
The nature of the Central Yavapai issue is well beyond the scope of our department.
Understood, but
it has to do with technology. Mm-hmm. There was some sort of lack of, since it has nothing to do with how we function, I don't know all the particulars, but it was somehow a lack of cohesion and a slowness to, and then the ability to coordinate. There's all sorts of acronyms, but basically, where there's almost like an RFID or a GPS thing that relays back into the dispatch center, where they then can dispatch the closest available unit to a call. And so it essentially amounts to all functioning off of what looks like an iPad in the truck. So that was the nature of their...
But I guess my question was, they're a more significant player in this whole arrangement
right.
than we are.
Yes.
Right? And that created some upheaval. We have some
yes.
county attorney issues. And so I guess my point is this. If we were to wait for anything, I'd say let's grab a copy of the document we executed, because essentially it may tell us that until there's an extension signed, we're going to continue on with this thing with an evergreen contract, or until we give the 360. So that renders this whole discussion moot.
Yeah.
So if we can get that. If we can't get that, what I defer to is I'd say, okay, Roger, do you see the value in it? We've absorbed the expense. Okay, and for the $1,100 or whatever the difference is, let's take, you know, let's execute the contract, not draw any more fire, get this done. We've got 360 days if we want to, or 3 months to go through and decide what we want to do, get the information, do the audit, whatever, but the contract is already in place. That would be my suggestion.
Why are we even doing a new contract? Was the early one dated, or were there resolutions?
We don't have the first contract to be able to understand.
We don't even know why a new one's coming out.
Well, what we do know is there's nothing. What Jeff has told us and what I've heard is that there is no additional, you know, that CapEx number, that's already buried in the number.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, if we get drug along on new CapEx, then that's going to be under the current contract anyway. There's no discussion on that. So whatever impact is what we're seeing right now. That's the $416.63 that we pay every month.
You want to make a motion?
Make a motion.
I would make a motion.
Well, Mike, and I'll just ask a question before that.
Okay.
Can we live without alarm?
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty much, that seems like it. I mean, I don't like the idea of spending $50,000 every 10 years, but if it's something we can't live without.
Well, and the other thing is this, you know, if we want to rattle sabers later because we have, or make
then
an extension.
Then we're contractually obligated.
Sure.
Again,
for 1 year.
It's $3,800. Is it worth making it? I'll go with what you guys want, but it's $3,800 a year. If you feel that the risk is not worth it.
Right. Your motion would be?
I would make the motion. If we can find the contract, make sure that we understand what it is. If we can't find the contract, that within, you know, what, 5 or 7 days we execute, and then just, you know, get our bearings.
I believe that either Whittington or Jeff has this contract.
They have to.
Yeah.
And you are familiar with both, though, correct?
No, he asked about it.
Between the original contract and this.
Yeah, Jeff. Jeff
doesn't have it right now.
In terms of higher level stuff, there may be some changes.
I got it.
But in terms of boots on the ground, how we interact and what we pay for it, it's not different.
Yes.
Okay, so we have a
vote.
We have a what is your motion?
Okay, 7 days, execute the contract, move forward. In that 7-day period, try and find, either through Bill Whittington or our records, we should have a copy of the contract.
I'll get a copy.
Yeah.
I'll get the original.
And barring anything in there that's detrimental to what we're talking about now, just finish this off. And then if we need a committee or task team, we can go ahead and put resources there.
Okay.
I would probably just want to call the city attorney personally to say, is there any way out of this five? And he'll say no. I don't think we have to go through one attorney to call this other guy.
Yeah.
I mean, we're taxpayers. Sure. We have the right to call this guy, correct?
I think we
wanted the answer to that thing if it was so important.
Okay, the motion on the table is that we execute this contract in the next week. So, we have a second?
Yeah.
All in favor? Okay.
The time to ask the question is not when we're 3 months tardy.
Right.
Getting a document that we signed incorrectly 5 months ago.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes. Okay. I will make a call.
So you can work with the 7 days.
I can, sure.
Yeah. I'll make a call to Whittington and see if we can't retrieve that original.
Any glaring difference in these contracts?
I think the contract issue is someone that we can...
The fact that we haven't seen it is the big question.
Yeah, that's right.
You would expect that the way that they've recast the extension,
mm-hmm.
that it's just an extension.
Okay.
That would be my thought.
Okay, let's move on because we're... Okay.
Excuse me one second.
He just likes to get things done. I was like
chop, chop.
Okay. Okay. Hi, Phil. How you doing?
Okay.
Okay, back to our original question now. We were talking about medical calls and fire calls and everything, and I'm interested in Roger's recommendations on some type of parameters. I was dumbfounded when that thing went out to the community about this hunter.
Can you tell me how it went out to the community? Who did what?
Well, it's a long story, but it somehow it found its way to Chris and the website, and it was put out to in an email immediately to the community.
With the specificity that would be a HIPAA violation?
No. No. I don't know that. Let's ask Roger. And I don't think that's a. I don't believe that.
No. So there's no HIPAA problem with it. You know, the from where I think Bill is coming from on this sort of thing. So chime in if I have this wrong, but that. On certain types of calls, it is good PR for the department, for the WFPA, you know, on certain types of calls, like the wildfire that we had on December 2nd, or these structure fires that we had, you know, success and, you know, relative success in this sort of thing. The structure fires weren't total losses. The there was no property loss in the wildfire. That is good PR, and that, you know, helps maybe with creating interest, you know, making people realize there's value for service, that sort of thing. So it's logical that we keep the community in the loop. For whatever reason, you know, I don't even know who told Bill, if it was Wayne who relayed that we had.
I'm the guilty party.
So, I mean, it was a big call in terms of we had half a dozen people here. There were two other agencies involved. There was. While it was still search and rescue, there were three other agencies on standby until we knew what we had. So from that standpoint, a lot of moving parts. But the end result was a recovery of someone with no connection to the community. So, you know, in terms of that, the logical thing, and I think I did this with the other incidents I mentioned, you know, but I think the logical thing is I can relay to Bill the particulars of a call that would seem to be PR worthy. You know, a structure fire that's not a total loss would seem to be PR worthy, a wildland incident, or a happy ending. You know, if we had spent 3 hours looking for a kid and found the kid unharmed, you know, that is PR worthy. And so that's something I'm certainly willing to do. It seems logical it would fall under the, you know, the description of what the chief would do. But if you all decide something else, that's fine too. I don't really care a whole lot.
Craig?
Oh.
Question?
I think it's a good idea. First of all, let's step back a second. We just appointed Chris as the webmaster, and so I don't know how much guidance we've given him, but he's understanding that he's circulating information, you know, community-based. Example, lost dogs, right? So, I mean, that's his thinking. All the way up to board meetings and fires and so forth. So he's kind of taking the information as it comes in, but measuring that against something very simple. So I would imagine when something like this comes across, he's not thinking, you know, that it needs to be further filtered.
I don't think he has any editorial. I think what happened is Bill said, here, send this out.
Okay. So if that's the case, then there's two points. If it's Bill for maybe the social stuff and maybe you for the operational, I think maybe that's the way you split the information. Chris just takes it from one of you two. Mm-hmm. Would that make sense?
Sure.
And then we sit down with Bill about.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so that is the other point.
Yeah.
You know, there was a conversation that occurred between board members, and, you know, 10 minutes later, Chris is distributing it wide to everybody because he was told to.
Okay.
Yeah. And so I think that's a great suggestion, and I don't know if we want to make a motion to vote on that right now, but I think it's a good suggestion. We you know, personally, in the having a full-time membership here in the community. The medical calls, I think, are things that people don't necessarily want to have blown all over the community.
No.
What
will we do? If we have an Alzheimer patient that goes wandering in the woods where we want everyone keeping an eye out for someone, I mean, there are times when it would be useful.
That I would leave to the discretion of the fire chief's operation.
But that's a different thing. We're not responding to someone who had a stroke at their home. We're responding that the case where someone is lost and in tough. We had that a few years ago, and that did go community-wide, where a resident's stepfather, was lost in the community. And so that was a different thing. And it's relevant to the call to say that so-and-so has this condition, or, you know, relative to the search effort. As opposed to we went into someone's home and treated them for a heart attack.
Okay. Should we – what's the board's feeling about making a vote on this operational end?
I don't know that you need to make a vote on it. I think you have a discussion.
We'll have a discussion? Okay.
Yeah, Roger knows how to be HIPAA compliant. He just has to,
okay,
on a case-by-case, figure out what is in the needs of the patient or victim.
Okay.
versus the legal necessities of HIPAA.
And then if the other person that's filtering the community stuff, it's the discussion within the board is...
We'll take care of that.
Maybe this isn't what we should...
Yes. Yes. Okay. Next on the agenda. Thank you, Roger. Committee reports. Do we have any committee reports?
Anyone else? Okay, I guess I'm the pivot point with the planning committee, and that's jumping down into the survey results. I think the last board meeting and prior board meetings, we kind of couched the committee advancement until we understood what the community wanted. So
okay.
Let's go ahead and
we'll skip that. We'll skip the volunteer of the month recognition, Bill. I'm not what he's sure he's doing there. Old business, articles of incorporation. Bill was hoping that we were going to, I'll just address that real quick because I'm pretty aware of it. What's going on. He wanted to have the articles be here so that we could talk a little bit about them. We gave these to our corporate counsel to review and revise, and that was to be in our hands on Thursday. His paralegal was working on a best friend got killed on Wednesday evening, and so they escorted her home. And that, so here's where we stand with the article of incorporation. Bill's wrapping it up. He's going to make some recommendations to us and put it back in our hands to see what we'd like to do as a board. So it's a long set of articles. I'll just tell you my brief discussion with them was they should be shorter. Some of these things should be incorporated into the bylaws. Some of them shouldn't be. He's going to give us the options. We'll take a look at them. We'll vote. So anything else that we need to talk about there? Okay. Alarm contract, which we just got done deliriously discussing, is done. Survey results.
Okay, I'm going to make this really quick, and then what we're going to need to decide is what part of the information I think is really valuable information we're going to post to the website, and then we're going to use all of this information as the basis of the planning committee and then the committees that we pull. This was, as far as I know, this is the first survey in this fashion that we've done, at least the first that we've done while I've been a board member. And the survey was conducted over about a 60-day period, roughly, plus or minus. It was blasted out in email, put out in our newsletter, a couple of blasts in the email. And the point behind that was to get kind of some demographic information of things that we may have known intuitively and get validated. And some of the information is directionally, where does the community or membership want us to go? Okay. So we have, I'm going to give an approximate, 1,000 members, give or take. We have roughly 30 to 40% of that number, in any given year, that actually contributes, donates financially, so we can measure that side of it. So against that backdrop, we got 91 responses when we cut it off. I think it was December 28th or 29th. So 91 responses. And so I'll just read real quickly the bullet points so everyone can get kind of a sense. While that doesn't seem like a lot, it's 10% of the total membership, it could be construed as roughly a third of the people that are contributing financially, or maybe even 25% of the people that are actively involved. Okay, question number one, our members are stable group. Over 57% have owned property in Walker for more than 10 years. Question number two, these are the summaries of each of the responses. Respondents with property that have improvements are 79%. Question number three, one-third are full-time residents. Four, we are a seasoned group with over 80% exceeding 50 years of age. Question number five, 80% do not have children in their household. Number six, highest five draws for WFPA participation. In other words, what are they coming to? Pancake breakfast, number one, at 54%. Walker Days, 45%, which is really surprising since that just got resurrected, but 45% for Walker Days. Firefighter Appreciation Day, 44%. Annual meeting, 43%. And attended board meetings, 42%, which is the fifth highest. Of note, we have 19% of the respondents that don't attend any events. They've not participated in anything. So that's something that we should probably take a look at. as well as the responses that we got. Annual meeting attendance, roughly one half, varying reasons. That was one of the questions we asked why, and so we've got a list of the responses there. Question number eight, 62% of the respondents stated that they paid dues of over $200 last year. Bad news, 14% paid nothing, and they had reasons. That was another question, is why didn't you pay if you didn't pay? Question number nine requires more review, but 14% that paid nothing, there were over 30 reasons why. Okay, so of the 14, they gave several reasons, right?
They're not consistent as to what.
It's a variety from district to infighting to, you know, it's all the things that I think we can sit here and say, oh, yeah, that would
were a lot of them to do with the tension, infighting in district, or was it economic hardship?
No, I think there's maybe four or five with the district. There's four or five with the tension. Some people that looked like, some of the people that responded that weren't really connected that weren't really participating, had just made some observations like, well, don't keep buying equipment and so forth. So I think what we have to do is we have to look at the questions and kind of boil down the, you know, whether they're salient or not. As can be expected, the highest priority perceived for the WFPA as far as operations, and the question was couched as well, what do you think the WFPA should be doing? Everything from social context to firefighting. So the obvious one that came out was the firefighting. Didn't bring my glasses here. So that was number one. EMS also. Community-related focus appears to be nice to have after the basic services are taken care of. That was the impression that I was getting in the comments as well. So when you look at the chart, you could see it was pretty defined, firefighting, period. And so whether that's, you know, more, you know, dialogue or communication with our membership that would change that around, or maybe their perception that the firefighting is taken care of and maybe they'd respond more highly on the community, that's something that, like I said, one of the committees can certainly mine that. Number 11, a similar inverse chart for the relationship, firefighting and ISO are the highest priority. So we asked a second question to come back and validate that question. Number 12, I didn't put it down here specifically, number 12 said that, do you see value in it? And if you see value or if there's some additional services, would you be willing to pay for them? And the question was pretty clearly yes. 75% said, 75% of the respondents see more value in the WFPA and would be willing to pay higher dues. And the number was, there were varying amounts. There was a couple of people that said up to $1,000 to $2,000, which was startling. But if you look at our average between $200 and $250, the majority of people said, you know, $50 looked like it was pretty easy. $100 was possible. So and this will get into our dues letter as well. If we can show value in the community, then there's certainly wallets that will open up.
Good.
Yeah, it's a very good thing. Most of our members prefer the present due system. This was the question that said, well, would you, you know, for the continuity of the fire department, it'd be great to be able to get multi-year pledges. I do that, for example. I'd say here's the minimum. But it seems the member, most of the membership, 63%, would rather just do the dues, get a letter, get a placard, and then send a check in. And those people may also be, you know, sending in additional money, so they didn't want to change the system, majority. Question number 14, almost the same percent will contribute money but have other commitments. And this was, in lieu of money, in addition to money, would you, it's kind of a cry for help as far as volunteerism, would you help? Most people said, you know, would like to but have other commitments. So, you know, again, I can't remember if it was under 20% that were willing. We also asked, if you're willing, can you provide us a name and an email? I don't know if we got any actual names, so we'll have to follow up on that as well. Question number 15, which is the second to the last, and finally several questions. The board squirmed. You know, there was some discussion in the board. Is, you know, we've gone through an awful lot of things in the last few years, and probably not surprising for this department and this community that there's differences of opinion, a lot of passion. But, you know, what was the rating? How would you rate the department 1 to 10? Needs improvement, you know, 1, or all the way to 10, just completely satisfied? 73% of, again, the 91 that responded were satisfied with an 8 or greater rating.
Excellent.
It's really strong. Now, 5 people rated the WFPA as marginal at 5 or less, and we had 1 at 2, I think. And there were some comments that were with that. So, again, I think it's
they, when they had negatives, can you tell if they were doing it off of now or off of the past?
A couple things that my observation. Now, the board needs to go through this information. I think the planning committee needs to go through this information as well and kind of filter it, chew it through as well. But I think there were, when you look at it, it's five people that were under five, and I think there was one person at two and spread out. District was one, and inviting was two. Those are the ones that I recall. Okay.
But right now, what I'm saying is the tension due to those areas was greater in the past than it is now.
Whether past or present. The question wasn't couched that way.
That wasn't couched that way.
So here's the thing. Anyway. 16, the question called out for suggestions and remarks. This didn't ask for any kind of a measurement. It just said, you know, here's the freeform section, give us, and we did get a chunk of feedback there. Some very good, some that's very constructive, and so I think that's where we need to kind of take a look at this and start sorting through the information. But like I said, the overall rating was good, but definitely areas that the board and the committees could certainly focus on.
No, you did a hell of a job putting this together. We all really appreciate it. I know it was a lot of work.
Well, you know, what's interesting is we've already paid for this. It's nominal. But, you know, we can take this. Now, we've got some demographic information. You know, I'm not a survey person. You know, this is an ad hoc. We can take this information now and build on it. We've got SurveyMonkey in there. We paid for it for a year. And so this is, you know, when we have a newsletter or a newsletter, we can certainly look at that and say, okay, look, you know, we're thinking about a station, and rather than having the members like in Big Buck contribute, would we be interested in the entire community contributing? And maybe that's two or three quick. If the community feels that, one, the questions are going out and the board and the department is listening to them, they may get more engaged. We may get more participation. We may get more website traffic. You know, that's one of the things that we always want to try and improve. So I think it's a good foothold to start. So, you know, I know we keep deferring the committees, and I've been on the planning committee for a couple of years. It's gone nowhere. I think we've got information now. I think everyone on the planning committee said, okay, let's, instead of assuming, let's go ahead and try and get this information percolated. So I'm going to commit, with the approval of the board, I'm going to go ahead and take the entirety of the survey, untouched, and send it to the planning committee. There's several board members. I don't know if anybody else would be interested in joining the planning committee, and then we can take a look at it, and then we've got all the other committees that we had put together in that committee worksheet. And so, like I said, what we can do is kind of, you know, pass the information from there.
Excellent job.
Good. Yeah. Thank you so much.
I think that's great.
Good.
That's actually really encouraging.
And something we could consider maybe on a regular basis as we go through the...
I think so.
To bolster
Greg doesn't have anything else.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to that.
We only put it on your shoulders if you're not here.
That's why I attend all the time, yeah. We get volunteers. So anyway, now, everyone okay with circulating everything and the responses in the website, posting it out there?
I don't have any problem with it.
I'm fine with it.
Good.
Okay.
Done.
I'll send it
over to Chris.
Chris. And
we'll send out an email blast announcing it so people know that it's out there.
And just to backtrack on Chris just a little bit, he is the webmaster, and he has been sort of given the thing, okay, you're going to get the information. You disseminate it.
Right.
You know, so he's done a hell of a job on the website. I think it's nothing against and his contributions to the department are quite good on top of that. But he gets what he thinks is proper and sends it out. So we'll just have to direct him on it.
You know what, and this is...
Yes.
And we can decide. Vic is in here, and we've been working on putting PayPal in the system, and that gets back to Chris and some intermix. We can talk about that new business if you'd like.
That's what I want to do.
We didn't stick that in.
New business.
Okay. You want to go ahead and launch?
Go for it.
Okay, the new website's up. Hopefully everyone's been in there. You know, as far as the aesthetics, I'm sure some people will think it's dark. Or, you know, there's always different opinions. But what's happening is we've gone through and cleaned up, for the most part, the old information that's in there. Certainly open for suggestions to build it out, you know, make improvements. But it's there. And Chris, to his credit, and Chris does this for a living, shows in his work. I was on the phone with him one day, and in 30 minutes, with the new platform that he's on and with his expertise, on the phone, we could go through and make immediate changes, which was just phenomenal. I mean, we've never been able to do that. And this all had to do with PayPal. We finally got PayPal on the system. So you can go in. If you go on the first page, if we have dues drives or fundraisers or whatever, you just click a button and it says, well, I want to donate, and it takes you straight into PayPal now. And there's a number of benefits. One, it's a lot cheaper for us. Two, the security is much stronger than we've ever had. It also moves, hopefully, some of the payment, some of the funds from checks to electronic, where we get credits. When you use PayPal, you can either, you know, set up your checking account. I set up my credit card to get points on it. So you've got all the firewalls and the protections of a very, very large company, but you get an immediate receipt. So you don't have to wait until Greg or Vic or Christy or whatever gets to it, and it's a week or two later, you get it right on the spot. We're also looking at trying to expand it so that we can customize a nice letter in there so the letter goes out as opposed to just a really dry PayPal receipt. So getting back to Chris, he worked with us to get that. We've put that in place now. We just need to announce it and get the community comfortable with using it if they've not used it before. So hats off to Chris on that one. Like I said, he banged that one out pretty quickly. And to Bill and Vic to get the account information, because you've got to connect the two.
Did we put the garbage on there also?
Well, the garbage is a different entity, so what we have to do is come in a different direction. So that has to be set up separately. We wanted to test this first. I sent a couple donations in for a dollar. It just screams through. It goes to the account. It's working really well.
Fabulous. Okay. Newsletter, is that part of that?
Newsletter, yeah. I talked to Vic about that. He needs to author the letter. I'll help him with it, and then I'll pull the distribution list. That'll be no later than end of month, February, preferably sometime, you know, after the middle of February. We've been pretty good about keeping it between February and March, because the other thing to consider after that is we have our annual membership. We want to get our newsletter kind of sandwiched in between that, also with the nominees for the next board. So February is a good date. So Vic and I will work on that, and we'll have an update next month.
Is it a call for articles?
Pardon me?
Are you making a call for articles?
No, not for the newsletter. Okay. The dues letter. Oh, I'm sorry. I've got the old copy. I keep saying newsletter.
Sorry.
Bill sent this out originally, and I'm reading it right off there. He meant to say dues letter. I asked him to say dues letter.
Okay.
And the dues letter is just going to talk about the dues, and what Vic is going to do is come up with what the context is going to be. The newsletter, I'm sorry, is going to be the March, April. That will be the articles, and I'll send an email out for those.
Okay, great.
My gosh.
You should start calling it the Chronicle.
Yeah.
Yeah, there we go.
Okay, are we done with that?
I am done.
Okay. Annual meeting, I'm not sure what Bill was referring to there, but I think, and I believe that I was talking to Betsy about this, I think the date on this is always the last Saturday of the month. Am I not
Memorial Day weekend.
Memorial Day weekend. Okay, so that is the last Saturday of the month. So just I wanted to verify that for Lauren, because I believe WCAA is having a meeting, and I'm not sure if on the date.
That date will be moved from the WCAA.
Okay. All right, great. And I'm sure on the annual meeting, we've got elections after that. We have to get a committee together to drum up Greg's re-support.
But we do need a chair for the nominating committee. That is one that's still under bylaws, mm-hmm. I believe.
Vic? Yeah, Vic's
like Vic.
Yeah.
He's not here.
Yeah, let's right in there.
Oh, are you glad today he didn't show up for this?
Are you glad you're here today, Greg? Absolutely. Well, I was on the call. How about Russ? We keep forgetting Russ.
I think Vic needs another duty. Yeah, he's had everything off to
everybody else.
Right. You know, he's got plenty of time. Okay. Well, so we'll cover those next month. I added the dumpster area maintenance, and I added that because of a couple of things. In the past, I mean, we're making the dumpsters available to the community. And there's issues with the dumpsters in the wintertime. Frozen locks, ice, it's a mess. And so, Roger was kind enough prior to the function that we had here a week ago go out and do that. And the day of the dance, I went out and did the entire parking lot and threw my arms out of socket. There was a lot of cinders to spread. And so I think that, I don't know what we're making on the dumpsters, but there should be some monies in there to allow for some maintenance in the area, because I don't know how the community feels about it, but you know, every time I pull up to those dumpsters and I get out of the car, I'm not sure if I'm going to wind up on the ground or, you know, and so I've tried, I've plowed the part, Dan Houck has plowed the thing, but it doesn't, weather like we've had recently with the ice, it's just treacherous. So we don't have to vote on it today, but I wanted to establish this as an issue.
We could put that in Bill's ear. I mean, that's really his baby, correct? Yeah.
And I just think we
can allocate a little funds out of the profits. And
what does the rest of the board think?
Sure. Great.
Yeah.
Yeah, it shouldn't be dangerous.
There hasn't been sued for someone falling and breaking their leg.
Right.
Yeah, I just think that's...
Roger and I get to come to pick you up.
But it is good for practice.
That's true, yeah.
A little balancing act.
Not to be grim, but the recovery call was about 50 feet from the road, probably 75 feet from the guy's car. You go, take your garbage at 6 o'clock, you slip, no one's going to find you.
That's right.
Yeah, it's an unfortunate situation, but it's a very hazardous one. Mm-hmm. And the unfortunate part, and I'm not belaying the people gold mining over here, but you know, they bring their family, and the kids play all over that cinder pile they put out there, and it sort of flattened it out, and then it froze solid.
Right.
And Roger knows that he was...
You got to try to dig a hole out of it. Yeah.
Pickaxe.
Are we due for another... This is getting, I guess, into more community stuff. Are we due for another load of cinders?
I can get the county to...
Yeah, because it seems like now we've got this big hole that's been dug out of the non-frozen pile in the middle,
well,
you know?
I think the part that froze, I think, like, kind of snow got in around the thing.
It's like a volcano.
Like, you're digging, like, from up and under.
Right, me too, yeah.
Before throwing the cinders, you had to dig them.
Yeah.
You know, sort of like mining.
Right.
If we provided the selection right. Road, just get
so, well, we're going to bring that up for Bill.
Keep some from Walker Day next year.
Okay. All right. So, moving on, because we are approaching, yes. Community announcement. Firewise?
Firewise is moving on. We're still negotiating the state grant. And I'll probably have a meeting with the state on here Tuesday. See if we can finalize that grant. The Title III grant, we're moving along. We've contacted over 20 residents, and we're due to contact the next 20 or so.
So how does someone get on that list? I mean, our property was evaluated years ago.
As you know.
We are. Oh, good. Okay. All right. Good. I mean, we're happy to throw in our 10% and then some. I mean,
we're using your property as a dummy.
Correct. Right. Yeah. Don't let this happen to your property. Yeah.
Hi.
Oi. Oi, man.
Well, in request to your email, I did call Doug on the because we're thinking about doing the grinder thing again here in the parking lot. And of course, you know, it didn't call me back, so sometimes you got to either go down there or you just got to keep calling. Cause when they say, oh, he's out in the yard, he's probably at home. Anything else on that? Lawrence done a hell of a job, by the way.
We're hoping to set up this grinder day in the early part of May so we can have everything cleared out of the parking lot by the annual meeting.
Great.
And,
right after our needle week.
Right after our needle week.
Needle week. Yeah.
Okay.
And a whole different connotation, isn't it?
Anything else, Lauren?
Not at this time.
Did you meet the new county?
Who's the new supervisor?
Did you go down to the supervisor meeting?
Yes.
What was your take?
Sorry?
What was your take?
What was my take? It was a good meeting.
Who's the new District 5 guy?
Jack Smith.
He loves Walker.
Yeah, he does. He was a nice guy.
Yeah.
Outside of Walker Day.
Yeah. Okay.
Harold
Law.
It seemed like you really had something going for him.
Republican. Oh, well. Okay. Any WCAA?
Oh, recording.
Oh, we've got a meeting, the latter part of this month, 25th or 26th, whatever Saturday is.
25th?
Whatever Saturday is the last
Saturday. Last Saturday, okay.
26th.
Oh, nice press that was circulated just last week.
Yes, that was
some
great.
The
Catholic,
yeah.
Very nice. For Victoria's run those coat drives,
yeah.
Catholic
churches.
They had a nice article in the paper. That was great. guys.
Yep.
Yeah, that was great. Okay, we're coming to one of my favorite things, and I have some great pictures, by the way, which I think we can actually put those into the newsletter. That would be great. So, Peggy?
Yes, we had officially 56 people that signed in. We got $555. Some people put in some extra, quite a bit extra, I would say. We paid for the band and the music, and gave them a tip. And we have a $380 left that we'd like to give to the department.
Wow, how nice.
Wow.
And also, I would like to thank you very, very much for the singers and all everything you did. If it is possible, maybe in the fall, in the summertime, I'm a little hesitant for February or March because of the weather, and I don't want to put the fire department in a situation of an accident or overwork, which Roger and Chuck, you helped us a great deal. And Barbara Jean and Keith are here. They're the ones that did music for us.
Oh, good.
They
were fabulous. Yeah.
That was wonderful.
Thank you
for
having us.
And anyway, it was very successful. We got in our jar. We got comments. Thanks for having us. Good time was had by all. Lots of fun. Thanks. It was great. And it was great watching everybody having a good time. But we were just, we want your honest opinion if this is something that you would like us to, if we could do it in the future or not. We'd like, you know, for you to tell us.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, I have to say, attending this, Roger did for a short while too. It was a great group of people. I mean, they really enjoyed themselves. I mean, there was a 90-year-old man there that danced on, and this guy had a stroke, right?
Yeah.
He had a stroke, right?
Yeah.
He had a doctor.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, and really, everybody just had a wonderful time. I'm so happy that nobody was injured because as people show up at these things coming from. A lot of people came from outside the community.
Mm-hmm.
Two-wheel drive vehicles and dancing shoes, and I was just like, oh. I was kind of worried about that, but it went really, really well. Except for, I think, one guy who couldn't figure out how to back up and go out the driveway. He couldn't suck at the lip right there. Personally, I'll throw this to the board. My feeling about it is I think it would be a nice small fundraiser for us on a regular basis, and I don't know what regular means, but I'll throw it to you guys.
Yeah, I should say the same thing. I didn't know that the department was going to get any funds. I thought it would be just a nice community thing.
Me
absolutely.
Too. Me too, but
yeah,
I'll say this from what the surveys have shown us. These community events are something that people really love in Walker, and it's something that differentiates our little community from others. That we have these great events. I mean, even the pancake breakfast, what, 8 times a year.
Oh.
It's a wonderful thing to look forward to, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You know, Peggy and Phil, they moved out of our community, but they didn't move out away from the fire department. And so this is the...
They're not out of our reach.
Yeah, and I'll be willing to help any way I can. We were having a breakfast this morning to discuss, you know, how we can bring other people in. Stuff like that, and it was fun. I mean, it was fun. There were about 14 or so people from Walker, you know, that came, and I think as the word spreads, we'll have more people.
Right.
You know, from
sure.
Walker come.
And absolutely,
it's nice.
Yeah, I agree.
No, go ahead. And also, some of the dancers that were there came up to me and said, please let us know if there's another one we want to help.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean,
great.
You know, we did it the first time to see how it would go. And so we'll have more help and more people and I'm sure more fun. So.
Well, you know, it's unfortunate. Go ahead.
You get your station floor mopped.
that's
creepy.
Yeah.
In spite
of the fact that it was really a big success, that the water lines froze at the fire station, so the bathroom was not working.
Oh,
oh no!
We had a Blue John outside, and it was cold. And these people went out there and.
It was warmer in there than it was in the firehouse.
Was the heater broken?
The one heater was, but it was, I thought it was
palatable. And
it was
palatable. Yeah, everybody was.
You
got to
keep moving.
I think
yeah,
yeah. You have 50 to 70
right.
people actually. It was a low amount.
Yeah.
Some of them didn't sign up. You know, sign their name up. There's closer to 70 people.
Well,
you have that. You have to have a potty outside
yes,
anyway.
Yeah, right.
And Peggy and Phil just we lucked out. Because this thing broke in the morning. There's no way to get a hold of anybody with a porta potty. They brought theirs from home.
Wow.
So that I want to tell you, you know, this is dedication.
Well, it is dedication. I have to say, you know, a big thank you to the fire group, Roger, and your guys.
Yeah, absolutely.
They did a heck of a
thank
job. Cleaning up afterwards. You guys did a great job. We had to throw them out. 5 o'clock,
yeah,
they're still playing.
What can I see?
But
Roger was a good sport. Too,
it was really good. And you guys helped tremendously, too, by doing all the setup. And I got here at 12 o'clock. I thought, well, I'll help set up, and then I go spread singers. Well, you were already set up.
Yeah.
And so, but it was, I think, everybody in the community, I think.
Had a great time.
Sounds right. These little things really work well, and you know, I'll put it to the board. I mean, I think that you guys are dancers, so you like to do this on a regular basis, and so does your group. So I'm not opposed to having the every other month thing or, you know.
Well, that might be.
Or every quarter. I don't know.
I think if you can raise funds like this, every weekend is okay with that.
We get the
well,
help, we
do it. We're open, so we'll sort of depend on you guys to give us a little bit of an idea of what you think you'd like to do, and then we'll go forward from there on that. Good job. Good job. Okay. Any other community announcements?
Let me just bring us. It might not be the right time to bring this up, but obviously with Bill's loss of his son was a real friend to Walker. I've just been thinking about this. Maybe we could at the very least put a brick out front, you know, friend to Walker and his birth and death date. I mean, there's no way it goes. Maybe we even hide this from Bill until we put it together. But I'd pay for it myself. But something from the whole Walker community, maybe we can make a bigger brick or four bricks or.
He's got a place out there. Their family, I think, has it.
Well, we do something special because he was a not only close to Bill, who's a great asset in Walker, but he was an asset to Walker as well.
In memory of Walker.
In memory of a true friend of Walker.
Card out.
Yeah.
If it's okay with you guys, then I'll be glad to send the card out for WFCA.
Oh, that reminds me that related to this, I don't know the answer. I'm asking for the answer. Is it suitable to lower the flag or not?
I would say yes.
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 I would say yes. Yes. And I'm glad you brought this up because at this particular juncture before the public forum, and we're just about ready to wrap this up anyway. We don't have any idea when the services are going to be. So as a board, do we want to send flowers?
I would say definitely yes.
Okay.
About lowering the flag. I'm not exactly sure because we've lost people in the community, and the flag is a national thing. When you lower the flag,
he's not a member. Technically speaking, Wayne had no direct connection to the department. It's not clear to me that it's suitable, which is why I'm asking. Someone brought it up to me. I'm not versed enough in that to say
I know what we should do. Because we've lost, honest to God, people that are in the community. But lowering the flag is a national it's a different deal. And we're told when to lower the flag.
I think it's suitable for a firefighter.
We
would lower the flag, but in this case,
technically,
that's not.
I'm not exactly sure that's the case.
It's a
service.
We've lost other people.
Yeah.
So we can
work on the other. Yeah,
thing.
I think
the other thing.
Well, let's make a motion then. One, that we will send flowers once we know when the services are. Let's make the motion now because we might not obviously meet again before then. And also that we have a stone or stones put together as a friend to Walker.
And a community announcement so people don't want to go to the service.
Yeah, I think that's fine. I tell you don't need to have 15 bricks. A brick is a big deal.
Sure, in memory of. That's a lot.
That's
yeah.
Because he's got a family.
We can talk to John Horvath about that.
Okay. Is he still doing the bricks?
I think so.
Okay.
If not, I'm sure he would willing to help with this.
Okay. So you made a motion. Anybody?
I don't know if I have to be a motion.
I don't know if we had to have a motion. We're just going to send some footage.
It's noted by the board, yeah.
Okay.
Well, we're putting the money out, so we just want to know.
Yep. Okay. All right. Anything on public forum?
No, I just was so moved by this meeting. I think it was a great meeting. And I think, you know, you don't give yourself, I mean, you're not going to sit there and give yourself a lot of credit. But I know you work with Lauren, and I know that this is a big deal, working together and having this kind of feeling at a meeting that we haven't had.
Have you noticed there's very little dissension
there's
now?
No dissension.
I mean, it's a totally different...
Right. So I thank you, and honestly, thank you, Greg. Thank all you guys.
It
was a wonderful year.
Well, you know what? I was thinking about that this morning myself, and really, it has been a really fast transformation. Greg and I got on the board 3.5 years ago, and that was tempestuous times. It was just stormy as could be, but you know what? In just a few years, some good folks, and we've made some big changes, and all of a sudden, it just seems like there's a lot more warmth
and Lauren,
cohesiveness.
The warmth between... when Lauren walks in a room and the warmth and between you guys and the wonderful thing. And I do the cookies when they have the shredding thing out here with the bushes and stuff. I do.
Chipper Days.
Yeah, and I think that's a wonderful.
It's so much fun. I had such a good time the last time.
We've talked about that before, and Lauren and I have talked many times about how this community needs to come together, and that's one way that we can actually work on this. And I have a complete commitment in my body about that. I don't know about anybody else, but
we all do.
I think it's really a wonderful thing. Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, it's great to have Roger as the...
Oh, yes.
You know, what a thing. You know, this is great. Thank you so much.
It's great.
And another thing, Chuck.
Yes.
These courts. Ever since we've come to Walker, the blessing to this community. Every time something, I couldn't have done that dance without my
how about your husbands?
You got the crappiest job.
I couldn't believe that they actually got a couple of guys.
Honeydewers
to pick up that on us and still push that thing all the way back to the back of the trailer.
Well, that's what's fun.
But you're right. And you guys have been the backbone of this community for years, and you've worked hard at putting community efforts in.
Well, we haven't stopped. You noticed
that. Right. Oh. Yeah, that's a great thing. Who did all the food, by the way?
The people brought it.
The people brought it.
Wow.
The people not only paid a little money to come, but they brought the food.
I know they're not here, but Judy and Stephen, we have
Judy,
to
Judy, they came right up. I emailed her, and she said, We'll be right there with you, so it was all a community deal here. Judy was glad to do it. She just told me when to be there.
Yeah, they were fabulous.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Really a good communication, a good community thing today. Any board discussion before we adjourn? We're going to beat our time.
I think the last thing we're going to do is we're going to try to come up with a date for Walker Day. So something that's not in conflict with the fire department, something like that. And it's going to be probably mid-June.
And of course, you are the chair for that.
I'll continue.
Sure. And you do a good job with that. And
you know, we'll just get that out, and this will be part of the Walker Chronicle.
And there we go.
I like that. That was pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, that's what it used to be called.
Yeah.
I found a Walker Chronicle
from
like 20 years ago, and I thought I meant to mention that to Bill.
Oh, we didn't reinvent anything. We just copied everything that was there.
Gotcha.
I do know Arizona Heating and Cooling, so if you're interested.
Okay.
They do a good job.
We bought our heater from them. I know that was got a... my in-laws got a weird estimate from them, but I'll give them a call.
Well, you know, they're not the cheapest, but they're very good.
Okay.
And James is he's the son of Paul. And
James, we know.
Yeah. So.
And, of course, they can't write off anything as a donation.
There you go. There you go.
That's right. Yeah, good luck.
Don't mention my name.
You got to ask.
All right, so your blessing. I'll make that contact this week.
All right.
Excellent.
Yeah. And any other comments?
Yeah.
Roger?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, then, in a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Done.
Good meeting, guys.
Done. Yes, thank you.
How you feeling? Good?
90%.
Sharon, like 10%.
Yeah. I can't believe it was before Christmas.
She's been, I mean, coughing. Lungs are coming out. All right.
I'm going to run.
Okay.
Take care.
Thanks for the invitation. I think I'll catch up with you on next
time. Okay.
It would have been great.
All right.
Is Mike coming over? Okay.
Tonight?
No, you said something about Saturday. I thought I didn't know.
Yeah, I have friends coming up from Phoenix, which I'd love to have you. And Ben's tomorrow.
You're
welcome all the time.
I know that. I appreciate that. I'm taking care of my sweetie right now.
All right.
Myra, thank you, sweetie, for all your comments.
Take care.
I appreciate that.
Thanks, Chuck.
That was a wonderful
show. We had fun.
Oh, my God.
I thought it was the greatest.
So, we were good. I've been there at all.
I've been there at all.